Blog Talk Radio.
You have tuned into your next level with Christy Nicole live. Live from Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, hello, hello out there. This is Christy Nicole from Your Next Level with Christy Nicole, and you are listening to Renewing Your Mind Weekly. I am excited about today's topic. Today's topic is just say no. No to what? Drugs? No to everything that is a temptation to you. Sometimes, you know, we hear just say no to drugs. We teach our children just say no to drugs, but we need to teach as well just say no to sex when you are not married or you are out there being promiscuous and fornicating. Just say no to homosexuality and lesbianism. Just say no to backbiting and gossiping. Just say no to being disobedient to God when he's told you to do something. You're not doing all the worldly things, but you're still not doing what the Lord is telling you to do. So you are tempted to be disobedient to what the Lord wants you to do. So just say no to temptation. And you've seen the advertisement. It says it seems that when you are on the verge of your greatest breakthrough, that is a time in your life when something or someone will come along to try and prevent you from, and try and prevent it, the breakthrough, from happening. So if you will, just say no to the vices of the devil, the distractions, the people that he used, the attitudes that he used, all the tactics of the enemy. I promise you, you will walk into your greatest breakthrough victoriously. So this afternoon, we're going to go to Genesis 39 today. And it's the end of the week. It's a Friday. It's a Friday afternoon leading up to Memorial Day, a day of remembering what our veterans have done for us, a day of remembering those that have went on before us to be with the Lord, a day of remembering things that have happened, just a memorial. It depends on how you look at Memorial Day. And so you'll be getting together with family and friends and getting together with people. So whoever listens to this before you get ready to get into all the festivities of this holiday weekend leading on into Monday when the banks are closed and businesses are closed on Monday. You'll be eating you some barbecue and everything. I'm here in Memphis, and barbecue is a big thing, you know. So I'm telling you, before you get to doing all that, let's go to the Word and then what God has given me to give you all so that you can just say no to the temptations that will be coming upon you this weekend as soon as you listen to this, or maybe you may be enduring temptation in the middle of listening to this. So, you know, for my live listeners out there, you know, stick with me for a few minutes, about 25 minutes or so, and we're going to go through this. Just say no. See, resisting attention prevents you from yielding to temptation. That is a saying that God gave me a few years ago when I was trying to keep myself, and I couldn't keep myself. I had to allow the Holy Spirit to keep me from being sexually active, and I wasn't married anymore, and also all of the other things. So remember this, when you learn to resist attention, especially when you're out there dating and all that crazy stuff, when you have a serial relationship, you're a serial dater. There are a lot of you out there, I know, been there, done that, but the Lord delivered me. He will do the same for you. So see, resisting attention prevents you from yielding to temptation. You know, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it teaches us how to be holy, pleasing, acceptable unto the Lord, and how to renew our mind, and that's where our show came from, Renewing Your Mind. And this part of my ministry came from Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know, in Isaiah 54, 17, it tells us that no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper. And it really won't prosper when you learn how to just say no to temptation. You won't even be in places at some points in your life. You won't even be in places for temptation to come upon you because, let me rephrase that. You will not be in a place for to have to, you know, worry about weapons being formed because you are not in the place of allowing them. Your weapons are going to be formed all the time because the devil is trying to prevent each and every last one of us from being with the Lord in the end. He's trying to convince as many of us. If the devil is on your track, guess what? That's a good thing. I mean, you are following after the Lord, and he don't like that, and he's trying to distract, destroy, deny, and delay. But guess what? He can delay all he wants to. He can distract all he wants to. He can detour you all he wants to. But as long as you're in God, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, so he cannot destroy you. Though he calls to steal, kill, and destroy, he will not be able to do that to you. So we're going to go to Genesis 39. We're going to talk a little bit about Joseph today. And so in this passage of Scripture, I'm going to start around, let me see. Let's start at verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. He was always with Joseph, despite of everything that Joseph went through with his brothers throwing him in the pit and everything prior to this verse. So verse 2 reads, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation version today. The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served the home of his Egyptian master. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This pleased Potiphar. So he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He put him in charge of his entire household, everything he owned. From that day Joseph was put in charge of the master's household and property, the Lord began to bless Potiphar's household. For Joseph's sake, all his household affairs ran smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. With Joseph there, he didn't worry about anything except what kind of food to eat. Ain't that something? Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man, and Potiphar's wife soon began to look at him lustfully. Come and sleep with me, she demanded. But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How could I do such a wicked thing? It would be a great sin against God. She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her. And he kept out of our way as much as possible. Let me pause right there. You know how some of you out there going through the same thing Joseph is going through. I have endured this and it tried to come up on me again. And you telling somebody, no, the Lord has not shown me this. The Lord has me in a great place in life. Some of you out there, the Lord has you in a great place in life. And there's a tempting person, and you've been single for a while, but you hear the Holy Ghost saying, that isn't the right one. Do not entertain that. Keep on moving. That person's probably married, like Potiphar's wife. That woman is probably married. That man is probably married. Ma'am, out there, you're listening, and guess what? You're kind of tempted, or you may be resisting like Joseph, but they keep coming at you. But I tell you, keep hanging strong. Don't just say no. Even if it sets you back, I have to pause and tell you, even if you're saying no sets you back, even if it's a friend or somebody telling you, okay, I need you to do this, and I want, and if you do this for me, then, you know, this, and if you don't, then I'm going to tell everybody this, or I'm going to allow this right here to happen because you didn't do that for me. But guess what? Keep saying no. Just say no to them. Even if it sets you back, people, why am I saying that? I'm going to tell you what happened to Joseph. Okay, so we're going to go down here to verse 11. One day, however, no one else was around. When he went to do his work, she came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanding, come on, sleep with me. Boy, I bet a man I should listen like I know because I go through this, but I'm trying to hang on. Hang on, my brother. Come on and sleep with me. Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak. You got to be careful. Be careful what you leave when you're trying to get away from people. Be careful what you didn't say it, because somebody out there holding on to something you said to use it against you. I tell you, I know by experience, came and grabbed him by his cloak, demanded, come on, sleep with me. Joseph tore himself away, but he left his cloak in her hand as he ran from the house. When she saw that she had some evidence, yes, when she saw that she was holding his cloak and he had fled, she called out to her servants. Soon all the men came running. Look, she said, my husband has brought this Hebrew slave. They love to call you what you used to be. They love to call you what you used to be, people, but you keep on looking up to God. My husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to make fools of us. He came into my room to rape me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream, he ran outside and got away. But he left his cloak behind with me. See, what they fail to realize, smart criminals or somebody as intelligent as Joseph wouldn't have been stupid and ignorant enough to leave his cloak, because he would have had all that playing out, because Joseph is an intelligent man. That's what kept giving him favor everywhere he went, right? Okay, so and with her until her husband came home, then she told him her story. The Hebrew slave you brought into our house tried to come in and fool around with me. That's what I'm reading in the New Living Translation, But when I screamed, he ran outside, leaving his cloak with me. Potiphar was furious. See, back in that day, if he had the Holy Spirit and was walking with the Holy Spirit, but he was endued an Egyptian, so it was what it was. So Potiphar was furious when he heard his wife's story about how Joseph had treated her. So he took Joseph and threw him into prison where the king's prisoners were held. And there he remained. But the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord wants somebody out there to know. The Lord is with you. I don't care who's lying on you. I don't care if you're in jail. I don't care if you're trapped. I don't care if you are getting ready to go to court. I don't care if you're facing false allegations. I don't care if the people at the church talking about you. I don't care what it is. If you're walking with the Lord like Joseph, if you're being obedient, if you're in line, the Lord wants you to know today this is divinely for you. The Lord is with you. Even though it may not feel good, taste good, smell good, or any of those senses that you have, it doesn't feel right. The Lord is with you. So the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And the Lord made Joseph a favorite. Every time he becomes a favorite, people, every time you get in a situation, you wonder why people take to you, why you're walking in favor, because the Lord made Joseph a favorite within the prison with the prison warden. Before long, the warden put Joseph in charge. See how he kept getting back in charge every time he was set back. He was what? Even if it sets you back, don't worry about it. Because I've heard the old people tell me, your setback is a setup for your comeback. Yes, it is. So before long, the warden put Joseph in charge of all other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. The warden had no more worries because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him and caused everything he did to succeed. Isn't that awesome? I know there's someone out there, you just like me, I've been in a situation where I came out of a pit, went into a prison, and God continued to give favor, and you continue, every time you get put into a prison or a pit or a valley, the Lord will send somebody to give you favor to get you up the mountain. The Lord will send somebody to give you favor to put you above everything, even within the prison walls. The Lord will give you favor, even in your pit, to put you above everybody that's in the pit with you, because favor of God is on your life. See, when you learn to just say no, you might get set back. People may set you back, but they cannot keep you back, because what? Your setback is designed as a setup for you to come back. So there are times, as I said earlier, that you're on the verge of your greatest breakthrough. You can tell when it's your greatest breakthrough because you get locked up. You get accused for everything. You get lied on. You get persecuted, you get talked about. The more you give love and the more you try to do, the more people say you're not doing or you wrong when you're trying to be right. And that's that time when you know you're in that place of getting ready to get to another place with a great breakthrough. However, just remember, delays aren't denial, and detours aren't dead-end roadblocks. It will not be, I don't care what your detour, what has caused you to detour another way. Guess what? It's not a dead-end. In a dead-end, you ain't ever going to come out, but a detour, you just have to take a longer route to get to where you're going because some road construction is going on, you know? And then, you know, and though you're delayed, maybe you may be delayed because you weren't walking in obedience and you didn't want to do what God called and told you to do. So you got delayed, but it doesn't deny what the Lord has spoke over your life. Like he told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. I called you man. Okay, so the same thing, my sir, the same thing, dear ma'am, it applies to you today listening, whether you're listening right now live or you're listening on the podcast in the future. The Lord wants you to know today that delays are not denials and your detour is not your dead end. You know, I was reading Joyce Meyer's commentary in the Amplified Version for Isaiah 4, and it said right here, while we are waiting on God, it's important for us to take our positions and stay faithful. Then, like Joseph, God will raise us up in his timing. Genesis 39, 2 and 5. Let's go back to where we were a few minutes ago. Okay, Genesis 39, verse 2 through 5. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord wanted me to let y'all know. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord is with you. So he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the home of the Egyptian master, okay? He succeeded in everything he did. He was blessed. The Lord was with him. In verse 3, Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph. If this man realized the Lord was with Joseph, he just got in his flesh. And if somebody out there, you're around somebody that got in their flesh and they can't realize no more that the Lord is with you, so they allow the enemy to operate in them and through them to distract you. But you just say no. You ain't got to say no now. You just say no in your actions. Close your mouth. Don't say nothing. Keep on moving. Ignore. Keep on walking. Let them talk. You know? And that's what Joseph was doing. Verse 4, this pleased Potiphar. So he soon made Joseph his personal attendant. He wanted him to attend to him personally because there was something great about this man. Yes. And in verse 5, from that day, Joseph was in charge of this man's entire household and his property. The Lord began to bless Potiphar's household for Joseph's sake. Now, say, okay, man, the household was being blessed because of Joseph's sake, because Joseph was in charge. What you think started happening? Why this man was in prison? That's probably why the warden said, come on, I mean, it doesn't tell us that, but let's think about it, okay? If somebody's house is being blessed because of what somebody else being there or you being there and they're being blessed, don't you think as soon as they could realize that you was moved away and you weren't there no more, that house is not being blessed as it was? So don't worry about what they think about you. Don't worry about what they're saying about you, because God is with you. Yes, he is. And so this week, remember, read over Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Please, God. That's the key principle for that passage of Scripture. Read it. Colossians 3, 23 through 24. If I read all these scriptures, I'll go over my time. So I want you to read that. That means to please God. Romans 8, 27 through 31. God got your back. Romans 8, 27 through 31 is telling you God got your back. I can remember people, God spoke to me one day and said, a demotion of a temporary position is a sign of an upcoming promotion for a permanent assignment. A demotion of a temporary position. See, sometimes you think that position is permanent, but for God, it's only temporary for you. So when you get So if you get demoted from that temporary position, remember, that is only a sign to you of your upcoming promotion, permanent assignment. See, position is one thing, but assignment is something that you must do. And no matter what, sometimes you're stuck in that temporary position, and the Lord can't move you to your permanent assignment, so he has to allow friction and setbacks to come up in order for you to get to your final destination of what he has chosen for you. See, you shall rise again, my sister. You shall rise again, my brother, because your big brother, Jesus Christ, has already shown you it's possible. He showed us it was possible when he went through everything he went through. You ain't nobody out there whooping you in no canine tail. Nobody's out there whipping you and lashing you and putting crown thorns on your head. Though it hurt in your flesh, though it hurt in your mental emotions, though it hurts like that. And then some of you out there, you may be enduring some things, but the Lord said, you enduring something that I told you to leave a long time ago. I don't want you being abused. I don't want you being mistreated. I don't want you going through physical abuse. So rise up out of that situation, because I've been telling you to come out of that. So therefore, if you're going through brutal attacks, then you need to do what you need to do. Reach out to a counselor. Reach out to a psychiatrist. Reach out to a helpline or a shelter so you can get free. The Lord is saying today that you shall rise again. You shall come up out of that place that you've been. You know, I said earlier, they tell me that our setbacks are only setups for our comeback. People just say no to the distractions, those people that are distractions, those different things, even if the TV is a distraction or the Internet, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, whatever it is, if it's a distraction, if it's people in your phone and texting and calling, if it's people even in your little circles at church or out here in the world on your job, the Lord is saying, say no to distractions, even if it sets you back. Even if you feel if you walk out of that fornicating relationship, it's going to set you back. Even if you feel like if you walk away from your family that's mistreating you, that it's going to set you back because they don't want been having your back. What I just told you, the Lord says, Romans 8:27-31 is a sign to tell you he got your back. It's scripture to validate he got your back. So you trust the Lord and allow him to get you to where he got for you, the plans that he has for you, the place that he's prepared for you. And it's going to all be okay. Remember, God will set you up for a comeback that he will get all the glory for. See, sometimes people helping us and people distracting us and delaying us, denying us, trying to deny us, you know, and they want to do it all for you. But the Lord don't want that. He'll put you in a place where can't nobody get you out but him. And that's exactly what happened. Joseph was in jail sitting there a long time. The cupbearer, they were in jail. And we're going to go over to that scripture now. They were in jail. And he, you know, Joseph was one that could interpret dreams. And so Joseph interpreted their dreams. And when he did that, he told them, don't forget about him. You know how you helped. You're trying to help other people too. And in your helping them, the chief baker and the chief cupbearer, he gave them what, you know, he told them what it meant. You know, what was about to happen to them. And it was so. So it was one day, you know, Pharaoh in chapter 41, Genesis 41. Okay, Genesis 40 is where you can read about the cupbearer and the chief baker. And then you go on over, you want to read about Pharaoh's dreams right here in 41, Genesis 41. And when we read in there, you hear about all this going on. And Pharaoh called in all these people that walk in all these psychics and all them people, crystal ball readers, as I call them, and those proper liars and all them, and no one could really tell him what was going on. And so that is when something came about for him to be able to move to the next level. And so what happened was, all right, I've had a little technical difficulty here. Well, what happened was when no one else could help Pharaoh out, then Joseph was remembered. And when Joseph was remembered, Joseph came over there. And people, what I love so much is Joseph knew Pharaoh wanted to see him. The cupbearer, the one he was the one that was restored to his position, and the chief baker was executed just like Joseph told him he was going to be. And so when they sent for Joseph to come over, he just walked all in there disheveled, looking a mess. He cleaned himself up. He cleaned himself up, and then he went on in there and he gave the word, told him what God showed him. And let me tell you, now I go on down to 41 verse 37, and I got to hurry up and get this finished for you all. Okay, verse 37, Joseph suggested Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man? So obviously, filled with the Spirit of God. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent. I just said earlier about how intelligent he was, and he was going to rape somebody. I'm sure an intelligent person would have planned it out a little bit better than the way Potiphar's wife brought it out to be. You know, if things like that happen, and see, somebody out there, you're worried about the lie being told on you, you're worried about what the people have done to you, but guess what? A lie can't hold. My spiritual mother told me, she's a pastor, she told me years ago when I was about 21 years old, it was a lie going around on me, and then another lie was told on me, even within my marriage, and she said, baby, don't worry about it because a lie can't hold. See, the reason a lie can't hold because the truth don't come out. The truth may not come out to 10, 15 years later, but the truth is going to come out. And so in all this, I'm pretty sure sitting around the table one day, we don't read about it, but you know Joseph told that he never did that to Potiphar's wife, and Potiphar probably told his wife, you get out of here because you're a liar. See, that's why I said we don't get to see all that in Scripture, but you just think about it. As time went on, and Joseph was made ruler, when he was made ruler, that immediately gave him a close relationship with Pharaoh and also word that back to Potiphar. I know it did. But we're not going to go into that. You know, I digress from that and come back and say, look, let me tell you something. Just say no. Just say no out there, people, to temptation, because your greatest victory is just around the corner. So, as I always tell you, be encouraged, be empowered, and be effective on this earth until the day of Jesus Christ's return. Until you hear my voice again, be blessed.